The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor at KIOW Forest City and Jake Bourgeois for the Anamosa Journal Eureka. A.J., you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, thank you for taking the call. Inflation has gotten way out of hand right now, and we are seeing that the president wants to release from the National Reserve in hopes of lowering down the gas prices. We've seen this tactic before. It doesn't work. What are your thoughts?
You're right. It's a spit in the ocean compared to the problem that he created almost immediately when he got into office. First of all, he brought a great deal of uncertainty to the oil and gas industry by taking the actions he did. I don't know the impact of that uncertainty, but less future for fossil fuels is going to inhibit investment. So let's go through a series of things that he did almost immediately after he was sworn in. Shut down the XL pipeline. Now they're talking about maybe shutting down a pipeline going across Michigan, delivering gas from Canada to, and maybe petroleum to the upper Midwest. Then put restrictions on drilling on public land, offshore, Alaska. And then also the restrictions that they put on fracking. The United States could be, and for a couple years, was the biggest producer of natural gas and petroleum. And then go to OPEC and want them to fill in. And then the inconsistency of shutting down pipelines in North America, and then encouraging the finishing of the pipeline from Russia to Germany for their natural gas. And then all this government resources going into electric vehicles is sending a bad signal to anybody that wants to look to a future of natural gas and petroleum. And nobody's saying that natural gas and petroleum is going to be the sole fuel that it is now, and that everything's going to be wind and solar, but it inhibits investment. So it's very bad policy. Just reverse those policies, and it will immediately cause the price of gas go down compared to this spit in the ocean plan taking oil out of the strategic reserve. Don't forget, the strategic reserve was used for national emergencies or national defense. That's why that oil's stored there. Okay, let's go to Anamosa. Am I right, Anamosa?
Yes, Senator. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act and just get a sense, because I know it's something you've been working on a while. You had the meeting in Jones County earlier this year. How much of this bipartisan act is sort of coming together of you and Senator Fisher's idea? How much of it, I guess, is a compromise, and how much of it is sort of your original idea?
Here's where we are. First of all, I'll bet you covered my meeting in Jones County that I had with 150 cattle producers where they were irate. They said, we need help right now. And I had my bill in, and then Fisher had her bill in. We reached a compromise, and we had to reach a compromise. You couldn't go with two separate bills and expect to get anything through the Congress of the United States. So I think that the main compromise is we reserved her her idea of, instead of having a national percentage of cattle that need to be sold on the spot market, do it regionally, whereas I wanted to do it nationally. And then my bill that had cattle, you have to make sure that cattle are planned for slaughter by each plant or each company 14 days in the future, so the farmer doesn't have to wait to get, like we heard in Anamosa or in Jones County, where I was, that some farmers had to wait 30 days to deliver their cattle. So it's a compromise, and I'm satisfied with the compromise, and I think Fisher's satisfied with the compromise, and we move ahead now and try to get it as part of the livestock mandatory reporting legislation that sunset and has to be reauthorized because it fits in very good with that law that's been on the books for the last 20 years and must be repassed. So I think we're moving forward very quickly, and I thank you for your question. Oh, by the way, yesterday, on this same issue that I just discussed with you, I had a meeting with the leaders of the Iowa Cattlemen Association yesterday in Ames to give them an update on this legislation, back to Forest City.
Sir, for a moment, we're dealing with shelves that are beginning to become empty in some locations around here. There doesn't seem to be any movement with regards to California's transportation laws, getting that merchandise out of the docks and into the shelves where they are. Is there any move by Congress right now to circumvent what's going on and get some of these products out to the market where they need to be? And that includes the grains and everything else that we're seeing here.
Yeah. Say, I agree with your question and the basis of your question, but I just want to report that yesterday, I think I was reading the Wall Street Journal, some of these big box organizations like Walmart and a couple others that were listed said that they thought they were well supplied, and maybe they have the capability of doing that because it made reference to the fact that they hired their own ships to get things across the ocean faster and things like that. Now, I think that you're absolutely right. There's a major problem. Might not be a major problem with Walmart, but elsewhere. So I would like to suggest two things, and they don't require Congress to act because the laws already allow it. One is a state law, and one's a federal law. And the state law is California, and it's connected to the environment, but they don't allow any trucks into the state manufactured before 2011. So just think what that does. Then the other thing is, at the federal level, the president could do like the governor of Iowa does. Let's say in the fall, when we got to ship a lot of grain from the field to the elevators, she raises the weight on a truck of what they can haul. So the president of the United States has that authority to do it for other segments of the economy. And that would help, those two things. By the way, we're about 80,000 truck drivers short. So yesterday, my first meeting of three that I had yesterday, I went to Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo to learn about how they're training former service people to be truck drivers to help us through this. Now, that one program isn't going to solve the problem, but that's an example of what we're doing to get more truck drivers on the road. Back to Anamosa.
Wanted to ask about the America First Responders Act and sort of how that came about and what you're hoping to solve with that legislation that got recently signed.
Okay. One part of it is the fact that people, police and first responders, die of COVID. Did they get it at church or at the restaurant, or did they get it on the job? And when you die of that, it's difficult to show that it was part of your work. But if you die of COVID, you're going to qualify for, just like if you were a policeman and you died from a bullet wound. So that's going to bring a lot more certainty to people that are in law enforcement that get COVID and don't know where they get it, but they could have got it on the job and probably did get it on the job. But it's difficult to show that it was law enforcement related. Another part of the bill would speed up the decisions that are made on when you can get. In other words, sometimes it took 3 years to make a decision that somebody that was killed in law enforcement or first responders, whether that was justified for the $100,000 you get, because that's what the law of 1976 pays out to policemen that got killed on the job or first responders. So it speeds up that process because it's too convoluted. Okay, let's go back to Forest City.
Sir, you're facing a bill, the Build Back Better bill. And this obviously is a fiscal bill, but there are segments of it that legalize the immigrants who have come in from the southern border. Now, the parliamentarian says it's not part of the fiscal package, and we don't know if they're going to hold to that effect where they'll keep that out of the bill. What say you on this situation?
Well, when it was first determined by the parliamentarian, since I'm ranking member of the committee and I'm opposed to having that put in the reconciliation bill, my legal staff, more or less like in a courtroom, argued with the parliamentarian that it shouldn't be in, and then the Democrats argued the other side, and we won it. They aren't satisfied there, and so they go back and they fine-tune it a little bit, change it a little bit, and come back to the parliamentarian. Now, they've done that at least once since she first said it couldn't be a part of the bill. We didn't have to argue that second point. She just flat out said you can't do it. We hope she's of the same frame of mind when they go back a third or fourth time. But if she's going to give it some consideration, my legal staff will have to be there as chairman of the or ranking member of the committee that handles immigration. They have to be there to argue that it shouldn't be in. The rules on reconciliation, and remember, that's only been used twice in the last 5 years, so if they use it again, it'll be 3 and 6 years. So it's not something that can just be willy-nilly used to get around the 60-vote requirement of the United States Senate to shut off debate so you can get to finality. It should be restricted to tax and spending issues. And immigration doesn't have much to do with that, but they're trying to find a loophole to get it included. Let's go to Anna Mawson, and that'll be the last question.
Obviously, the year is getting close to wrapping up here. What are some things that, you know, appear to have some bipartisan support that you're thinking could be passed and signed into law, or that you guys are working on in both houses that could be made law before we get to the end of the year here?
I think there's only one of any significance, and it would be the omnibus appropriation bill that funds the government through September 30th, 2022. I don't know that that's going to be ready before Christmas. We extended the time of spending money not to shut down the government till December the 3rd. So December the 3rd comes, two things could happen. It could have a bipartisan agreement on the appropriation bill to do it for the rest of the fiscal year, or they could put the continuing resolution to keep government operating 60 days into the new year. But I think that's about the only thing that's significant could be bipartisan. Everything, all the other attention is going to be focused on the reconciliation bill, which is strictly a partisan bill. Okay, thank you all. Goodbye.
Thank you, AJ and Jake, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.